Of course, how the UK responded, because it is a complicit in the genocide, I would say that the UK and the US are co-genocidaires, along with the Israeli people of the, people of Gaza. And so what they did was, instead of, seeing the protest, the right to protest, or regarding it or accepting it as part of the constitutional rights of citizens of Britain, they have criminalized it under their terrorism laws. Mm. So basically, everybody who's being detained, and especially these, Palestine Action protesters who are being accused of having sabotaged or vandalized the Albert Systems factories, are being held as terrorists. Mm. The organization has been labeled a terrorist organization. And basically for more than a year now, they've been held in remand, what we call detention without trial. And according to UK law, you cannot keep somebody without charging them and having their trial for more than 6 months. And of course, these detainees have been there for more than a year now. And what they are doing is very cruel. They separate them, they move them away from their communities. Like Heba, for instance, she was moved about 150 or 300 miles away from her community of support. You know, people would go to the jails outside the street and they would sing songs and things just to give some comfort to the political prisoners. And so, and then they also, have been denying them access to communication with community outside amongst themselves. So that was when 3 months ago, the hunger strikers, this group of eight young people, and they're all young, they're all below the age of 30, so they fall into the youth group, decided to go on hunger strike to raise visibility about the injustice they are experiencing, for standing up against the injustice that the people of Palestine are experiencing. So that is the context. Yeah.
Yeah. Just listening to what you say today and just understanding the entire situation, it's a little bit ridiculous to hear that the UK government is treating them as if though they are terrorists. That would be similar to the South African government treating the PSC for all of the activism as terrorists.
Exactly.
And I think this also comes into play in terms of UK relations with Israel. You've mentioned, of course, the reality of the UK and the US, but the UK has been instrumental in complicity with the Israeli government since the Nakba days and even before then.
Absolutely.
And this seems to be in similar fashion to them, to continue the support of Israel. But at the same time, it's a little bit ridiculous to see this going on, because calling them terrorists and hearing what they're being accused of, it doesn't correlate. It almost makes the term terrorist seem vapid and just absolutely useless as a term.
Well, we're living, I don't know, I was telling a friend the other day, it's like we're living in a Saturnalia. You know, it's an ancient Greek festival where everything is upside down, where the slaves become the masters and the masters the slaves, you know, just so that people get an idea of how absurd the world and reality can be. And in this stage, we're having, like, for instance, Donald Trump, who is a genocidaire, who is rolling out a peace plan in Gaza. You know, here in South Africa, we have white people who still own about 70% of the land claiming that they are victims of a genocide of black people who haven't, you know, done anything to them. I mean, you know, there are farm murders, but more black people die from crime on farms than white people do. Of course, we have a lot of crime. Of course, it's unacceptable. But to twist it and gaslight, you know, the world. So that's what's happening, you know, and the Britain basically saying we're a Labour party and, you know, Labour is supposed to represent workers, and here they are, just, you know, any possible kind of humanitarian reasoning and embracing of a humanitarian agenda and actions has flown out the window. Mm-hmm. And these are supposed to be democracies. And of course, I agree totally with what you said about Britain. Britain caused this with the, you know, Balfour Declaration. Yes. You know, and so we're sitting with a situation now, and you know, I think we need to see the hunger strikers, the Palestine Action hunger strikers in context with Gaza as well, and the genocide there for over 2 years now, and what's proliferating in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, all the occupied territories, Lebanon now, Iran, everywhere, Venezuela. And that is that we're seeing what was always there, which is we're dealing with a colonial system.
Yeah.
So colonization might have ended. We might have chosen a flag and we have a black president, you know, we have votes and things. But the bottom line is the international order still sees us as second-class citizens. And of course, these young people who are objecting in the UK have put their finger on it, because they're basically, by challenging the UK government for complicity, you know, with genocide against Palestinian people, brown people, and, you know, and this happens when you also object to, you know, tortures or genocides in the DRC or Sudan or something. Nobody does anything about it. Why? Because our bodies are just, you know, so much rubbish as far as the colonial world thinks. And this is exactly how they treat the people of Gaza. And this is exactly how they are treating the hunger strikers, that you know, you can die, we don't care. And taking the stance is so important. And I think for us in South Africa, it resonates so much, because we stood up for apartheid here. And we're standing up for apartheid, you know, against Israel. And we've had hunger strikers, you know, in our history of anti-apartheid. And as we know the pain of what is going on there with the hunger strikers, their communities. So this is very close to our hearts. Mm. And we also, you know, GSACS, Global South Against Xenophobia, takes the, we see all struggles as tied up. Today it's Gaza. It's the 8 hunger strikers in from Palestine Action in the UK. It's all those, you know, students in the US who are being expelled and beaten up and arrested and all sorts of things that are happening to them. Yes, just yesterday it was Venezuela. And tomorrow it'll be us. This is how insecure we are and vulnerable under this global order. And we need to start saying no in very decisive ways. And that's why, you know, we've put out statements. We're coming out with a new statement today. We have released an open letter 3 weeks ago, which we've updated and sent to the presidency and DERCO, in which we're asking for the South African government to please intervene by creating a mission that speaks with Starmer, that speaks to the British consulate and the British Council, and basically on a humanitarian basis, say that the 5 demands that these hunger strikers are asking for are clear and they are not unreasonable. But you cannot afford to have deaths in detention by hunger strike. That is cruel and barbaric, and it has absolutely no place in a country that calls itself a democracy.
Indeed. Rashila, unfortunately, we ran out of time, but I want to thank you for coming to our e-waves to highlight this issue, giving context as well in terms of the gravity of the situation and its importance. It's been wonderful speaking to you.